Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
You know, after 4 years of doing these roster countdowns and, you know, it's a lot of videos, it's a lot of work, and you see a lot of parallels. Some players, all of our rankers agree on. Some of them have a giant variance in where they're ranked. And that's where we come in at number 85. Undrafted free agent, defensive tackle, Sebastian Valdez. We have as low or as high as number 73 overall and all the way at 91. So, you know, our four rankers, shout out to Josh, Ben, and Zach. They are the best people out there. Like, we don't know where to settle on Sebastian Valdez, and I understand both ideas. Undrafted free agent, no guaranteed money. I get that. Smaller defensive tackle whenever you drafted not one but two defensive tackles relatively high in the draft, right? So, like, why? Why could he be a guy that can make this 53-man roster? Well, the 49ers have had a prototypical three-tech build, that kind of 6'2", 6'3", 300-pound guy, and they've kind of all jettisoned. There's not that many left on the roster until you get to Sebastian Valdez. That is what makes him so unique, is he is the prototypical height, weight, size, speed, strength, play strength, all that stuff that Chris Kucerik, Robert Saleh, D'Amico Ryans have all coveted in this style of defense. Yet you're seeing kind of an about face where they're going after these bigger bodied, you know, 6'5", 6'4", 330, 320 defensive tackles. But then you still got this old school build that is Sebastian Valdez. So who is he? He's wearing jersey number 65. For the 49ers currently, 6'3", 301, 31-inch arms. He's got short arms. That's probably the biggest negative to him. Ran a 5.0240. He's got burst, 7.33 cone, really good change of direction, and probably the best thing that he was able to do. Now, he was not invited to the combine, but if he was, he would have been the number one defensive tackle or defensive lineman in general in terms of bench press. 34 bench press reps. At 225 pounds, it would have been the most for any defensive lineman. So you're talking elite strength. Yeah, he's got shorter arms, but, you know, you plug his measurables into mock draftable, you're getting guys like Timmy Jernigan, Corey Leggett, Jay Tufel. Like, these are high-priority draft picks that he has comps with. It's just he didn't play a lot of key divisional one football. Southern California kid, went to Monte Vista High School, Spring Valley, California, right? Southern California. Then he goes to Montana State. Now, they play some really good football up there, but transfers to Washington. So he's at Montana State for 3 seasons, dominates, elite pass rusher, elite run defender, all those things. One of the highest targeted transfer guys. He goes to Washington and still elite run defender, but the pass rush took a major dip. So in his 3 seasons at Montana State, Sebastian Valdez, 2021, 8 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, elite for a defensive tackle. Following year, 2022, 8 sacks, 7 quarterback hits. Holy freaking cow. Last year at Montana State, 7 sacks, 4 quarterback hit. Like, you're talking one of the best pass rushers from the defensive tackle position in all of college football, regardless of division. Well, then he transfers to Washington, higher degree of difficulty, a lot better talent in around him playing up against, 2 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, both his lowest of his career. So not that those are bad numbers, because I don't think, remember, he still has more sacks than the Texas A&M pass rusher that went, you know, in the second round. Like, still better, but that's not what makes Sebastian Valdez a good player. He is a high upside run defense defensive tackle slasher that can penetrate with elite strength, knocks people back consistently, but has pass rush upside. You draft him because of the size, because of the strength, because of the run game, and you hope he can maybe figure out and get back to some of that pass rush upside. But make no mistake, if Sebastian Valdez hits, this is a 3-down player. Like, he's that exact same mold that you... He's not the same player, but Javon Hargrave, Kevin Givens, Jordan Elliott, you know, Maurice Hurst, these free tech designed builds that the 49ers have coveted. And, you know, and again, I feel like I downplayed his season at Washington because it was like, oh man, oh, he had a bad year. No, he was the defensive newcomer of the year for Washington. So, like, he's still good. It just wasn't that, holy cow, this is a first, second, third round draft pick because of the pass rush upside and the run defense. That's not what it is. Now, his accolades, even in high school, he was a 4-star recruit. Still went to Montana State, 2-time all-conference in high school, defensive newcomer of the year for Washington. He was labeled a quarterback killer until he got to Washington. Can he get back to that? The short arms, that's what hurt him, and that's a big reason why he went undrafted. First and second team All-Big Sky honors, and he's played a lot of football. Experience. 2,300-plus snaps in his college career. You've got to love that. And just in this 1 year, if you just take a snapshot of 2024, he played in 13 games for Washington Huskies, 48 tackles, 5 tackle for loss, that's great, 2 sacks, all right, 4 quarterback hits, all right, 13 hurries, and 1 pass breakup. His PFF scores, so solid. 71 overall, great. 76.4 run defense, great. 63 tackling, okay. 61.6 pass rush, okay. So you're getting a well-rounded defensive tackle for free. No guaranteed money or anything like that. Didn't spend a draft pick on him. But the thing that separates him, listen to his run grade PFF score last 3 seasons, 76.4, 76.3, 71.8. That's where he excels. And just continues to get better. And he even improved, had his highest run defense grade of his career at Washington in the Pac-12. So that is something that's going to continue. My film write-up, short arms, but plays with great leverage, elite upper body strength, short area quickness, but lacks overall explosiveness. The lower body explosiveness just doesn't seem to, the power doesn't come from the tree trunks, it comes from the limbs. More of a run stuffer with pass rush upside, relies on his power too often. Agility is impressive, can develop. I feel like there's a lot left despite him having the experience. If he can uncork and work his lower body short area quickness with his upper body strength, I think that there's something that can be there. And you look collectively at his, you know, career, 25 sacks for defensive tackle throughout his career. That is off the charts awesome. Now, he signed an undrafted free agent deal with no guarantee, so 3 years, $2.9 million. He's played in 54 college games. I like this guy. The question is, can he bypass a Kevin Givens? That's what he kind of has to do to make this roster. I don't know if he can. Kevin Givens has been here since 2019, one of the longest tenured 49ers. But those two guys are one and the same. You put them next to each other, you're not going to be able to tell the difference. Sebastian Valdez is Kevin Givens. Kevin Givens is Sebastian Valdez. And that's kind of the plan. Kevin Givens came in 2019 in that Bosa, Debo, Greenlaw draft class, but stuck with the team for 6 years now. Sebastian Valdez, like, if he just follows Kevin Givens and Learns, probably, you know, the goal is for him to make the practice squad, to develop, and maybe get called up for a couple games. That's what you want. And that's why we have him here at 85. Now, if you can beat out Kevin Givens, Jordan Elliott, that's a bit of a stretch. Shanahan likes him too much. Like, Jordan Elliott's probably going to be starting week one. But those three guys, you have the build that the 49ers have always coveted at that three tech. I think he's got an outside shot. Practice squad is probably best case scenario this year. But I'm telling you, Sebastian Valdez, he's got something that the 49ers just love. The elite trait of run defense, upper body strength, perfect height, weight, build. Telling you, don't sleep on this guy. For us, we'll just keep counting him down. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Now that the offseason's kind of wrapping up and, you know, post Bryce Huff trade, there's really just one glaring need or positional inflexibility that you have, and that's outside cornerback. I think probably the biggest weakness on the 49ers roster is outside corner. Now, there are a handful, you have three or four guys that the 49ers have invested in, and you're hoping one to two of them pan out. If not, I think you're going to be in trouble. Now, they overdrafted and oversigned kind of that nickel corner position, but outside corner is a different story. And one of those dark horse candidates comes in number 84, cornerback Dallas, D-A-L-L-I-S, Dallas Flowers, who has experience going into his fourth season, has starting experience in the NFL, elite kickoff returner. I think that's, you know, another little thing that just makes him, dude, this guy could be your kickoff returner all season, and you would be very, very happy. Electric. Now, Dallas Flowers, he comes in, you know, number 84. He's wearing jersey number 35, 6'1", 196. Absolutely ideal build for an outside corner. 32-inch arms, that's positive. 27 years old. He's in his prime. 4.43 40-yard dash, that's great. Probably his best measurable, 1.47 10-yard. That is as elite can get. Would have been one of the fastest 10-yard splits in this year's draft as well. Like, his short area acceleration mixed with a 6'1 height, very rare skill set. Very rare. 6.93 cone, solid. Not elite change of direction for a corner, but he's an outside guy. He's not a nickel guy. 10-11 broad jump. Lower body acceleration, explosiveness, that is there. Now, Dallas Flowers from Illinois, graduated from Oak Park and River Forest High School. And man, you just look at what he accomplished in high school. They just retired his jersey number 21. He's wearing jersey number 35 for the 49ers. If he catches on the roster, that might change. But they only want two players that Oak Park has ever retired a jersey before, and Dallas Flowers one of them. And you know, just an elite corner, wide receiver, kick returner in high school. Then you know he had to fight his way academically into eligibility with Robert Morris University, then Tiffin University, then he goes to Grandview University in Des Moines. But here's what I love the most. He earned a master's degree in health, human performance, and recreation. So this is somebody that has grinded to get to where he is. He's a two-time NAIA. Yeah, we're talking NAIA football. I love it. As a kick returner and cornerback. So elite returner. Some elite skill sets with speed, acceleration, length, all those things. Now, he came into the NFL in 2022 as an undrafted free agent for the Indianapolis Colts. But here's what's crazy. Like, the Colts have taken so many of the 49ers' corners. Their starting cornerbacks right now are Samuel Womack and Charvarius Ward. Like, they just, it's just what it is. It would be really nice to get one back. And Dallas Flowers, I'm not saying he's going to be starting corner for the 49ers, but this is a player that I really, really like on this roster because he fits a major, major need. In fact, he fits two. What he's done as an outside corner, I really, really like. And what he's done as a returner, I really, really like. So he is an undrafted free agent in 2022 for the Colts. How did that work out for him? Not only did he make the roster, the 53-man cut down, he was the starting corner week one for the 2022 Indianapolis Colts. Dude went out there and started and was the starting corner for 2023 as well. Now, as a returner, he led the NFL at 31.1 yards per return. Led the league. He was on the, you know, Pro Football Writers Association all-rookie team. Dude, like, was on his way. Had a year under his belt, starting rookie, starting the second year as the starting corner, and then, sure enough, popped his Achilles. Week 4, 2023, Achilles pops. After that, he rehabbed. Obviously, that's going to end any season. But as a corner, that's hard to overcome. So 2024, he sits out week. It finally gets back in basically almost exactly a year. Week 5, 2024, he gets out there and just got shredded. Probably back a little too early from the Achilles. The Jacksonville Jaguars gave up an 85-yard touchdown against Brian Thomas Jr. Later in that same game, gave up a touchdown to Brenton Strange in the fourth quarter. Colts waived him right after that. It just like, it was bad. You know, giving up two touchdowns and an 85-yarder, it was rough. So he gets waived by the Colts. Then the Tampa Bay Bucks sign him in October 2024. He was on their team for a while, but eventually he got cut as well. He was on their practice squad. They didn't bring him back. Then the 49ers signed him May 9th, 2025. He signed with the 49ers. And the question is just this. Has he had enough time to recover from that Achilles? Is he explosive again? Does he have his top-tier speed? Well, again, the injury happened week 4, 2023, so it's been essentially a year and a half now, which that's typically the recovery timeline. The good news is he's young. You know, this is a dude that's 27. He's not in his 30s, but that's the question. Has he recovered? Does he have his speed? Does he have the elite acceleration? Is he there? If he is, this is a great signing. If it's not, not too big of a deal because you signed him on a one-year, $1.1 million deal with zero guaranteed money. So if for some reason he doesn't make the 53, nah, you know, it is what it is. Now, as an undrafted free agent with an injury, this guy has made $1.7 million career earnings so far and no guaranteed. He has to hit if he wants to get paid. Now, my film breakdown of Dallas Flowers as a corner, elite acceleration, it shows. Great length. You love the build. 32-inch arm, 6'1". Like, he looks the part. I mean, the whole time I'm watching him, I'm like, dude, this is like Trey Amos, who went in the early second round. Like, that's what this guy looks like. Plays way too aggressive. Does get beat on double moves. Loves to play physical, but gets in trouble with footwork whenever he's jamming wide receivers. It needs to clean that up a little bit. Not a lot of polish, Ball skills are good. Seems to always be at the catch point. A little bit of a sticky transition out of, you know, breaks his back pedal or a shuffle, but elite return skills. And that makes up a lot because he has not one, but two ways to make this 49ers roster. He could just be the return guy. Just put him back there on kickoff returns. That's it. That's all you're going to do, man. And if there's an injury or two at the corner position, we could throw you in there. But here's what's crazy to me. You look at the 49ers depth chart, it's not great. It really, really isn't. Okay, you have Diamador, Lenore, and Renardo Green at outside corner. After that, Darren Neal, Trey Brown, Darrell Luter, then Dallas Flowers. Like, it's not crazy to see that Dallas Flowers could beat out Darrell Luter, Trey Brown, one of the most injured players in the NFL, and Darren Neal, who they love for special teams. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be the number three outside corner. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying the pathway to get there, it's not difficult. So is there a chance for Dallas Flowers to make this roster? Yes, very. There's multiple chances. And again, you know, this is somebody that has started in the NFL. He's played in 23 games in the NFL. The injury, pre-post Dallas Flowers injury, that's kind of the concern. Only played 89 snaps last year. So what's that going to look like? You look at his PFF scores last year, 60.4 run defense. Okay. 60.4 overall grade. Okay. 51 run defense. That's an issue. 65.7 coverage grade. Good. So can he step up his game versus the run? Can the explosiveness be there? Can he help on special teams? That's what's going to be huge. Because again, his PFF score for special teams, 75.6. His average return last year, 30.6 yards per return. That's elite. That's getting you past the 30-yard line every single time. Well, not every single time, but average, way past that. 49ers haven't had a good kickoff return guy in a long time. Maybe whenever you put Debo back there, but he still had the fumbles and whatever else. But like, man, Dallas Flowers is electric. Dallas, and I love taking chances on young upside guys in their prime. Yeah, the injury is concerned, but it's not costing you anything, and it's at a position of weakness. I still hold, if the 49ers could add any position, any player, man, get an outside corner. But that's not where we are right now. So, Ciaran Neal, Trey Brown, Darrell Luter, Dallas Flowers, one of these guys has to pan out. You got four shots. You got to have one or two of them that can play because you need outside corners in today's NFL. So is he going to compete for a special teams role? Is he going to win the defensive job outright? We will see. I have to say thank you to Zach, Ben, and Josh, the executive producers of this entire series. And at number 84, we have Dallas Flowers. And for us and the 49ers team, we're just going to keep counting them down. You know, one of the things that we struggle with on this roster countdown is, okay, like how do you rank a vet versus a rookie versus an undrafted, you know, free agent versus just a career special teamer? Like, how do you place all these players on a scale? Very simple. You know, this entire roster countdown, 1 to 91, biggest impact on the 2025 season alone. That's all that matters. And so at number 83, we have defensive back Trey Avery. And I'm just going to be honest, it's very difficult to see the upside, especially with the additions of all the nickel corners because, you know, Trey Avery, 5'10", 181-pound corner going into his fourth season, kind of a special teamer only, and might be the worst defensive back whenever it comes to supporting the run game of any safety, corner, nickel, whatever that the 49ers have on the roster. Now, it's not for a lack of effort. Trey Avery is tough and very physical. He's just not good at it. The small body does not translate to supporting the run in any tape that I have watched. The PFF scores kind of agree with that. But what he does do, you know, elite change of direction. This dude ran a 6.7 3-cone, like elite of elite. Change of direction, short area quickness, attitude want to is there. But coming in at 5'10", 181 with sub 30-inch arms, it's difficult. He's 28 years old. He ran a 4.4, 5.40. Like, he's got speed. 10-yard burst, 1.56, good. But the 3-cone, that's elite, 6.7. That's unreal. 38-inch vertical, lower body explosive. Like, he's built in a way that he's limited physically in the game of football. Let's just be very honest. But the attitude is there. It's just, man, can that ceiling and support in the run game ever translate? For the 49ers, I don't know. And so we have Trey Avery, number 83, on our roster countdown. And a big portion is just, I can't see him being anything other than a special teams player. Not that that's not valuable, but if you're just a special teams, you know, rotational player only, that's where it gets difficult. And so in our rankings, we had 76, 78, 82, 85. He comes in at 83. Just the upside's just hard to find. But the NFL's peppered with players like Trey Avery that hang on and can contribute in a special teams way. Now, you follow what Trey Avery went to get to the NFL. It ups and downs. He grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, went to St. Francis Academy at Franklin High School, and, you know, shoot, all first team All-State, unbelievable, all-academic region by Prepstar, USA Today, All-American, you know, all that stuff. Like, off the charts. He commits to Ohio State, but the problem was he had to transfer to Toledo because of eligibility issues at Ohio State. It just didn't work out with the recruiting and grades and just kind of everything. So then he goes to Toledo, then transfers to Rutgers, where he was there as a slot corner, nickel corner, for 5 seasons. You know, a lot of experience. And while he was there, he majored in labor studies and employment relations at Rutgers. Got to respect that. Love that. Does not get drafted. Signed as an undrafted free agent for the Titans in the 2022 draft, right after the 22 draft. And he was with the Titans for 2 years. And 53-man roster, cut, signed to the practice squad, brought back, off on as a rotational piece. He actually played, you know, some corner for him, but didn't go well. The run game was the issue. Special team solid. It's just, Now, the Titans cut him. They waived him at the end of December last year, 2024. The 49ers claimed him within days. So this was somebody that they targeted and they wanted, and they finally had a chance to go get him. They got him last year, played some special team snaps, but that's relatively about it. Now, he has no injuries on his, you know, track record, which that's great. So somebody that's very, very healthy. Niners claimed him at the end of the 2024 season, and he's playing out the end of kind of that RFA deal. He's got a $1.1 million contract with zero dead money if he's cut. So I don't think that Trey Avery is a player that will make this roster, but he could be a guy that gets elevated from the practice squad to, you know, get some meaningful snaps as far as special teams goes. Now, what is an undrafted free agent bouncing back and forth between practice squads and teams make through 2 years in the NFL? The answer is $2.3 million. He has seized that opportunity relatively well, and he's played football. He's played 38 NFL games. 5 starts, hasn't been great, mostly special teams, but he has gotten in the mix. My film write-up on Trey Avery, small but tough, likes to mix it up in the run game, but isn't good at it. Whether that's lack of size, short arms, poor tackling, like, the attitude's there. And so just because he's been bad in the run game, maybe it's time to take a step up, because if he can prove, look, man, not only am I willing, but I can start to be effective in this area, the nickel corner spot is interesting for the 49ers because, okay, Diamador Lenore, clear cut, amazing nickel. But Kyle Shanahan came out at the close of last year. We want him to focus on one position. So if the roster shakes out the way that the 49ers wanted to, Diamador Lenore might stay outside with Renardo Green. Okay, well, you spend a third-round pick on Upton Stout to play nickel. You got to beat out a third-round rookie that they're clearly in love with. That is great versus the run. Marquise Siegel, who you got in the 5th round. Yeah, he's a safety, but he played predominantly nickel. Where are they going to put him? He's great versus the run. Chase Lucas, who we have over Trey Avery, veteran experience, very similar track record, NFL experience. I have him over Trey Avery. Then you have Trey Avery and Jacob Robinson, the undrafted free agent out of BYU. That's kind of the pecking order. So is Demo going to stay outside? Well, Trey Avery just got bumped up. Is Upton Stout, the rookie, going to hit the ground running? Is Marquise Siegel going to stay at safety? Well, if that's the case, you're talking about one play removed from being a backup nickel. I think Chase Lucas and Upton Stout, their roles are clearly defined at that nickel spot. But Marquis Siegel, Diamador Lenore, who knows what they want to do there? Just because they moved Demo into the slot last year doesn't mean they want to do that now. So there is some movement. The tectonic plates are shifting on the roster construction for the 49ers. And Trey Avery sitting on the outside looking in currently. Doesn't mean make some steps up, make some plays on special teams, show what you got in preseason and training camp. Man, maybe you beat out Chase Lucas and you could be that kind of backup nickel special teamer. That's best case scenario for Trey Avery. Now, again, how I started this show, it's hard to see the upside there. Special teams, that might be what he is. That's not a negative. You can make a career and you can make a lot of money in the NFL because, again, he has elite traits. Short area quickness, burst, attitude. He'll get in the mix. He's not scared of open field tackles. He's just not good at it. So if he can grow in that area, stay healthy, and just be out there and give them an opportunity, we'll see. Again, last year played 101 snaps on special teams across all units. Grayed out around 60. That's the average grade for a special teams player. He had a 58.9. That's what he is. Can he impress enough to lock down one of those jobs for Brant Boyer and the new special teams coordinator? That's what I would be focusing on if I was Trey Avery. And I hope he shines. Improved special teams play would be welcomed by me more than anybody. But Trey Avery comes in number 83. And for us on the 49ers rush, we're just going to keep counting him down.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.